Well, good morning. This is Donna welcoming you to Empowering You to Break Through, a 21-day journey. And we're coming to the end of our first week together, and already God is doing absolutely amazing things. And it's so encouraging to see women getting a hold of that principle that we keep teaching. Listen, if you want to break through, the best thing you can do is empower someone else for their breakthrough. And how do we empower others? With the blood of the Lamb, the word of our testimony, with scripture, with prayer, with, sharing your favorite uplifting videos. So engage on that group and lift one another up and encourage one another. I wanted to mention to you that today is day five. It is Friday. And we will not be here on the live call Saturday or Sunday, but what we will do for Saturday, I have posted to the Facebook group, and when this becomes an e-class, it will be incorporated into the PDF workbook that you receive. I have posted a prior teaching that Deanna did as part of an e-class that we offered several years ago, and it's a two-part series on healing and deliverance. Yeah, I just said the word deliverance, and I know that that's spooky to a lot of people, and you're like, is that an exorcist? Is that scary? Do I need that? Are you saying I'm demon-possessed? I mean, people get really, really freaked out about it, but yet it really is a necessary part of the breakthrough process for many of us, and Deanna handled it in a way that was not spooky. I mean, it just really explains what healing and deliverance is all about. So what I would like you to do either, for your Saturday assignment is take some time to listen to, part one, if you can, get into part two of that healing and deliverance training. And then on Sunday, I will post a series of questions for reflection. One of the most powerful things I have ever incorporated into my life, I actually began 30 years ago, shortly after I became a Christian. I think, my youth pastor must have taught me this. On Sundays, to take as a day of rest, we were strict Sabbatarians. I mean, you did not buy a gallon of milk on Sunday. You certainly did not go out to a restaurant on Sundays. We were really hardcore. But Sunday was a time for absolute quiet, and it was a day of quiet reflection. So I had a list of questions that I would pray over each week and say, Lord, how did this week go? What did you teach me? And I think it's a really important discipline to develop, to take time on Sundays, to be quiet before the Lord, and reflect upon the week that you just lived before you plunge headlong into another week. And so I'm going to post each week, and again, it will be part of a document for those of you who are going to be doing this as part of the paid e-course that we'll offer once this is over. Those of you who are free, you're like super, super blessed. So that will be how the weekends will work, and then again on Monday morning we'll be here with the live teleseminar. Okay, let me, Deanna, would you open in prayer? And then I'm going to do a brief teaching, and then Deanna will be sharing a word, a devotional, and then we're going to be praying. We have selected one of you, and we're going to be praying over her. So, Deanna, would you be kind enough to open us in prayer?
Sure. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you that you woke us up. We thank you that you gave us the strength of mental capacity to dial in, the technical ability to dial into a phone and for all of us to be together. We thank you, Lord, for the expectation, the excitement. We are fully excited and we are fully expecting that you are going to move mountains as we listen to your word and as we receive your direction, as we receive your correction. Father God, I thank you for the breakthrough, the chains that are being snapped off of our minds, the chains that are being snapped off of our bodies, the chains that are being snapped that have bound our relationships, those places, Lord, that have become dead wastelands. I thank you that you are pouring living waters over those areas. We are hungry and we are thirsty for a word from you, nothing more and nothing less. So I ask, Father God, that you would speak. Speak, Lord, into our heart and into our minds. We have ears. We are ready to hear. We receive what it is that you have to say by faith. We give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Now, sisters, we've shared from the beginning this 21 days to breakthrough that an absolutely essential part of it is fasting. Jesus said this kind, these really tough things that we've been battling with forever and ever and ever, this kind only goes out by prayer and fasting. So fasting is an absolutely essential part of your journey. But I also said that it's a spiritual feast. just because we're not eating a whole lot physically doesn't mean we're not eating. It doesn't mean we're not feeding. We're just feasting in a different way. It's a spiritual feast. And I gave you an acronym because, as those of you are following along know, I can't see, so I'm making up acronyms to help me remember and writing on my whiteboard. So here we go with big, large letters and bold colors. So the fast is, F is fasting, really setting aside time for a spiritual fast. E is enumerating your sin, and that, again, that's not beating yourself up, that's pressing in and saying, Lord, show me those areas where I'm falling short of the mark and where you are wanting to do a work. God only reveals what he's ready to heal, so let God do the revealing. Come to him and he will show you. A is that attitude of humility. That pride is just so insidious and it's so destructive, and we did a whole teaching on that, very powerful, the attitude of humility. S is sharing. You cannot break through alone. That's just it. And that's why these 12-step groups are so powerful, because they understand that bondages and addictions can only be overcome in community. And as you've heard us say day after day, the best way to get your breakthrough is to help someone else get their breakthrough. So how can you do that alone? No, you have to share the journey and be part of community. And T is for time. I want to focus on that today. We said that time means extensive time in God's presence. Yes, doing your quiet time, doing your Bible reading, doing your devotional, being here on this call, but it's also time just quietly soaking in the presence of God, being still and knowing that he is God and letting him speak. And I want to broaden that a little bit today and talk about what you do with the rest of your time. Because maybe you go to church on Sunday morning, and maybe you even throw in prayer meeting on Wednesday night, which is sensational. So that's like 3-4 hours of your week. Maybe you have an hour each morning of spiritual filling. Are we up to 9 hours a week? How many hours are in the week? You know, lots. My math isn't that good. What's 24 times 7? It's a lot. So it matters what you do with all the rest of your hours in the day. And that's what I wanted to talk about today. What do you do with the rest of your time? Galatians 5:1 says this, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. That bondage, that addiction, that thing that you can't break through, the very reason Jesus came is to get rid of it. I mean, more than you want to be free, he wants you to be free. And he's already made a way. Over and over again in the New Testament, it speaks of, especially the letters of Paul, grace and peace to you, grace and peace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace is your free ticket to heaven. And we talk a lot about that. God loves you unconditionally. Jesus paid it all. You don't earn your way to heaven. It has nothing to do with your good deeds. It is the gift of God so that no man can boast. And I think we have a real revelation and an understanding of the grace of God. At least I hope all of us do. But what is peace? See, if grace is your free ticket to heaven that cost Jesus his life, then peace is your ticket to enjoying the trip. And what I'm talking about today and what we're talking about in these 21 days to breaking through is living in peace, because when you're in bondage, you are not at peace. And Christ came to give you peace. He wants you to have life and have it more abundantly and to enjoy your daily life. It says in Isaiah 26:3 that God, will keep in perfect peace him or her whose mind is fixed on God because he trusts in you. And so God wants us not just to enjoy grace, but to enjoy peace. And we said that your soul encompasses, that's really where the battleground is, because in your spirit, you're already set free. The Holy Spirit's in there. Great things are going on in your spirit. But your soul can cover over all of those great things, and they're not breaking through into becoming a daily reality in your life. Your soul is your mind, the thoughts you think, your will, the decisions you make, and your emotions, which is how you feel, usually as a result of your thoughts and your decisions. You see, thoughts, and you want to write this down, thoughts become attitudes. Attitudes become actions. Actions cause reactions in the people around you. Their reactions affect your emotions. Your emotions affect your thoughts, which affect your attitude. I mean, it just becomes this vicious cycle in our lives. And it all begins with wrong thinking. And so if we can change our thoughts, we can begin to change our life. Let me pose a question. How would you feel emotionally? How would you feel if the person whose opinion mattered most to you constantly said aloud the things that you think about yourself? If you think all the time, I'm a loser, I'm so fat, I'll never change. Imagine if the person whose opinion mattered most to you said that to you all day long. What would it do to you emotionally? What do you think it's doing to you emotionally to be playing those kind of self-destructive thoughts filled with self-loathing and discouragement? It's having a profound effect on your life, and it affects your emotions, it affects your attitudes, it affects your actions, and then it affects how you show up in the world and how people respond to you. What I want to say, the one thing, I pose the question, what is one simple change that could change your life? And it's this: change the seeds that you're planting, watering, and cultivating. Every thought you think is a seed planted in your life, and it will yield a harvest. I would say, it's so silly, but this morning I woke up thinking of that old song, every word you speak, every move you make, right? Anyway, some British guy. You shouldn't get these songs in your mind, you know? Then they're there decades later. But every move you make, every thought you think, every word you speak, everything all day long is a seed. And what we do with that seed determines our life. And if we want power in our life, we have to plant a seed called prayer. And then we have to water it and nurture it. Every dream in your heart is a seed. And the only way that dream will grow and flourish is if you daily pour living water on it and allow it plenty of time in the sun, S-O-N. If you want to reap a harvest of peace, you've got to plant seeds of trust in God. If you want wisdom, then you've got to plant the seed called time in God's word. If you want to reap a harvest of emotional healing, then you've got to plant seeds called forgiveness and repentance. If you want to reap a harvest of joy, then you've got to plant the seed called gratitude. If you want the harvest of health, you've got to plant the seed of caring for your body. So many of you want financial breakthrough. Are you planting the seed of tithing? If you want victory in your life, then you've got to plant seeds of accountability. If you want the abundant life that Jesus promised, you've got to plant the seed of walking moment by moment in obedience. Sisters, it's what we do all day long with these seeds. When this thought comes into your mind, what do you do with it? Do you take it and nourish it and water it? If it's a destructive one, God loves you. But if you are nurturing and watering and tending horrible thoughts, you're going to reap a bad harvest. You know, if you jump off a 10-story building, gravity is going to kick in. God does not or rarely suspends the laws of the physical universe or the spiritual universe for his children. I mean, he loves us. He wants us to walk in peace, but we have to choose how we live. You see, your harvest, what you're seeing sprout up in your life right now, is the sum total of all of the seeds that you've been planting for a long, long time. And the reality is, most of us pray for crop failure. Think about it. My number one prayer is for crop failure. God, please don't let all of these terrible seeds that I've been planting and nurturing and watering and tending, please don't let them grow. We need to position ourselves so that we're planting good seed, and then we can pray for a harvest, not crop failure. I hope that makes sense to you. You know, God says, choose ye this day. And choose ye this day applies to the thoughts that you think. You get to choose that. The decisions that you make, the emotions that you indulge, the people that you allow into your life, including people you allow into your life through music that you listen to and TV shows that you watch. That's all people that you're allowing into your life. Choose ye this day applies to the way you spend your time, not just this 1 hour. This 1 hour is great. I'm so glad that you're here. And I know that seeds are being planted in your spirit right now. And water them, you know? Let them soak in the sun. Tend them throughout the day. Meditate on them. When Deanna gives you a word, it's a seed. Don't just, you know, oh, what a great seed, and then just leave it. No. Nurture it. Spend time in God's presence, really allowing it to spring forth in your life. And so I guess my question is, do you just want a free trip to heaven, or do you want to enjoy the trip? If you want to enjoy the trip, be very attentive to the seeds that you're planting and what you're doing with those seeds. Now, I have an acronym for you. Are you ready? It's SEED. And I'm actually going to work through it backwards. So let me show you. S is for serving, E is for encouragement, and D is for discipline. I actually want to start with D, and then I'll explain why. D is discipline. And I want to give you a quote, and this is from memory, but it's from Henry Nouwen, who is a Dutch priest. He died a couple decades ago, I think. But he said that discipline is the human effort to create the space for God to be good, gracious, and give us what we need. So discipline is not about earning brownie points with God. Hey, God, look, check off, read my Bible, check off, said my prayers. It's not about that. We discipline ourselves to create space in our lives. So it's like imagine a farmer who just kind of haphazardly, you know, throws some seeds out in an unweeded field and, you know, then just goes in the house and watches television for the next 9 months and goes out and hopes that things have turned out great for the farm. No, you've got to be disciplined about tending those seeds and all that you're doing. E is for edification. Now, again, I know that we have people from many different backgrounds. I've been in ministry for 30 years in every denomination, from Anglican, Baptist, Catholic, to Charismatic and Presbyterian and the worldwide Church of God. Okay, so I know that we come from many different backgrounds, and we may have different understandings of what this means, but I really prayed about this morning, and I think it's important. Edification, edify yourself by praying in the Spirit. The word edifice literally refers to a structure, a building. And when we pray in the Spirit, we create an edifice. We create a spiritual house to live in. And this is kind of semantics, but I really don't like this term Christ follower. It's become very popular. And I don't like it because I think it waters down the reality of Christianity. Because we are not merely following Christ. You know, Buddhists follow Buddha, Muslims follow Muhammad, Scientologists follow Tom Cruise. We're not following Christ. We are carrying Christ. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. So it's so much more powerful than just following a set of principles laid out in a book. And when we pray in the Spirit, we create a spiritual house in which Christ dwells. And it's so powerful. And I know that we have different understandings of what it means, but I trust the Lord is going to show you, what does it mean to build yourself up in your most holy faith? What does it mean to edify yourself by praying in the Spirit? And I'll tell you the key, the big key that's changed my life. Your mind can be dangerous because your mind wants to tell you its opinion. It wants to give you all kinds of suggestions, and then it wants to give suggestions to God. It wants to point out the problem, and it wants to suggest a solution. And it wants to become very attached to that solution. It wants to figure everything out and then tell God what to do. And then when God doesn't do the exact thing that your mind thought up and the exact solution that you came up with, you're disappointed, you're angry, you're disillusioned, you're mad at God, and this whole prayer thing doesn't work, so forget it. The power of praying in the Spirit is that you turn your mind off and you allow the Holy Spirit to begin interceding with groans that cannot be uttered. It's powerful. And I'm not going to do a whole thing on that. I'm just going to put it out there as a seed, and I'm going to let you water it. And I'm going to let you spend time praying on it, studying the scripture about it, asking the Lord to show you what does it look like to edify yourself by praying in the Spirit. E, the second E is for encouragement. So out of that discipline is spending time with God, pressing into His Word, all of that. You know, all of that time, edifying yourself, praying in the Spirit, building yourself up, then you're going to have something encouraging to share with someone else. And I want to share a brief story of how the Lord used this in my own life. This is going to sound crazy, but I actually did 3 conferences for John McCain, and we were having a luncheon. He was having a luncheon to thank all the people who were part of his conference, and his wife Cindy was sharing about, you know, some things God had done in her life. She actually had an accident, hurt her back, and became addicted to the prescription drugs, and God walked her through deliverance from that. And this whole secular luncheon just turned into a spiritual thing, and then Senator McCain started sharing really openly about when he was a prisoner of war in Hanoi, and he was the chaplain. And he said that each week he would have to put together a sermon and a hymn. So he would need a scripture verse, put together a sermon and a hymn. And throughout the week he would tap out, you know, in Morse code on the walls of his prison cell, okay, I've got the first couple words of this verse. Does anybody know the rest of it? You know, pressing on. What comes after pressing on? You know, I remember the first line of this hymn. Does anybody know what the second chorus is? And throughout the week, all the prisoners would try to piece together what they remembered of a scripture passage, a scripture story, a hymn, building one another up with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. And that moment at that luncheon absolutely changed my life, because I remember sitting there thinking, if they took our Bibles away, what would I have to share? If I were in a prison camp somewhere, how much would I be able to contribute to encourage the other prisoners? And I think it's very interesting. Deanna and I were talking about this yesterday. I don't have my glasses still. We're 5 days into this class. So I really can't read, and I really can't write. So I'm having to draw from the storehouse of what I've built into my spiritual house through discipline and edification. Otherwise, how would I be able to encourage you? I would have nothing to offer you. And I want to set that out as a challenge to you. If you want to be an encourager spiritually of other people, then you're going to have to build a storehouse, a spiritual house where you're storing these things so you've got something good to offer to others. And then S is serving. Serving. Out of all of that, come to the Lord and say, okay, God, how can I not only encourage someone with my words, with your words, spiritual songs, etc., is there some practical way that I can serve someone else? And you can see now why I did those backwards, because it actually flows. But then once you've got it going, then it's a never-ending, you know, you're serving and you're pouring out, and then God pours into you, you're encouraging others, you're edifying. It's not in a specific order. It's every day we're taking time for edification, we're taking time for spiritual disciplines, we're taking time to serve and encourage. So I pray that this has been really, really helpful to you, and I want to turn it over to Deanna and ask her to share the word for today, the devotional, and then we're going to open up and we're going to pray over Judy, I think.
Awesome. So I'm kind of seeing a pattern here, and God gave me this little phrase for our group that each day we have, you know, this really powerful teaching. What is God saying? What has His word instructed us, you know, to do? How do we partner with Him for breakthrough? But then what's our part? And our part is the challenge for change. So we have little exercises each day kind of that God's given us. And today, our challenge for change is weed and seed. Weed the garden of our minds. And then God gave me this I thought was really profound. Seed into the future your spirit desires to live. Seed into the future that your spirit desires to live. We have to plant those seeds. Okay, so word for today is give. Give, what a word. It's a word I love. In all I do, I am giving. I have created you to be a giver too. There are so many promises I have laid aside for you that are released with a condition. I promise I will do something as you do something. Give, and it will come back to you, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. I gave my son as the forgiveness of your sins, the atonement, the sacrificial lamb. I give out of my love. I give you every good and perfect gift. I give you life everlasting. I give you hope, peace, joy, comfort, provision, protection. I give. I give myself to you as you grow in the fruit of my spirit so that your actions and your relationships will be a wellspring of life for you and those all around you. I've given you gifts and talents. These gifts are not just so you can feel good about yourself. In my grace, I chose you even before you were born. I called you to serve me. I want you to give the great that I've placed in you to others for their benefit and my glory. Your calling is a gift from me. I saved you, then called you to my holy work. This was not your idea, but mine. This gift of giving, a life of service, was prepared for you in Jesus long before you knew anything about it. I created you, saved you, called you, gifted you, authorized you, commanded you, prepared you, need you, and am holding you accountable for your ministry. I have rewards set aside for you that are released simply through your ability to minister to others. You are among my chosen ones, chosen for the high calling of priestly work, chosen to be a holy people. My instrument doing my work, speaking out for me, telling others the difference I have made in your life. I called you back from the ends of the earth so you can serve me. I did not throw you away. I saved you. Do not fear, for I am with you. I will uphold you with my victorious right hand. Do not look at your lack and decide that you do not have enough to give. All that I have is yours. Give what I have, not what you have. I provide seed to the sower. I give seed so you can plant it, watch it grow, and yield a return on your investment. I love a cheerful giver. If you sow sparingly, you will reap sparingly. Sow generously and watch, wait, and see that you will not be able to outgive me. I promise you, child, give, give, give. Give, and it will come back to you. Give unto me. Give to others. Give of yourself. Give your life to me, and in return, I will give my life to you. You will not regret the exchange. I promise.
Powerful, powerful. So the question today was, what's the one simple change that can change everything? And that one simple change is being mindful that every moment of every day, you're a farmer, and everything in your life is a seed. You get to choose what you're going to do with it. You're going to plant it, nurture it, care for it, and you will reap a harvest. Those seeds you plant will reap a harvest, so be mindful of the seed you select and what you do with those seeds. That was powerful. We're going to open up the line now. I would like to ask Judy to press *6 and announce herself. Okay. Okay, it looks like she did not make the call. Deanna, would you like to describe her situation
in
brief and pray over
her? I'm sorry, this is Judy.
Oh, there you are, darling.
I'm here.
Thank you, dear. Would you very, very briefly share your situation, and then Deanna is going to pray over you. I will pray over you and, of course, the women in the group, and that will be a wrap for today.
Well, I've had pretty much a rough childhood growing up. I just feel like every area in my life has been attacked, finances, my health, my marriage. It's just pretty much been a struggle from a teen to now in my late 30s. So, yeah, that's just pretty much.
And Judy has shared her story with us, and so we know that. And I want to encourage those of you who are tuning in, if you want us to pray over you, do send us on Facebook inbox to Deanna Allen and to myself, kind of your backstory, so that we know how to pray effectively. Deanna, do you want to go ahead and pray?
Mm-hmm, absolutely. Yeah, I spent some good time this morning with the Lord just asking him. Judy, I love how you summed up, you know, I guess if I were to ask for you to pray for something, you said healing in your mind, direction and restoration in marriage. And, you know, actually restoration in marriage is one of the things that I'm believing God in breakthrough for. The more years I think you spend with somebody, the closer that we get and the more able we are to see each other's flaws. You know, I can say that I have done a lot of damage in the marriage. I too have a very, very, very troubled past, abuse of every sort in my childhood, grew up a very broken woman, not equipped even, you know, to live a normal life, let alone to try to come in and be a whole person to bring into the marriage. So, you know, after 19 years with my husband, we have a lot of time behind us, and there, you know, are definitely a lot of areas where we are asking God to help us grow, you know, and that we would grow together and not apart. I think in a lot of marriages, the individuals are happy that they're both growing in the Lord. My husband and I are both growing in the Lord, but it's our desire that we would grow together in unity in our marriage. So I said all that for those of you that are on this call, you know, really crying out to God for a personal breakthrough in your marriage. I'm with you. I'm with you. I'm really, really believing God that I will have a marriage that thrives, not just survives. So having that said, Father God, Lord, we lift up Judy. We lift up her past to you. We lift up her present circumstances to you. Every woman that is listening to this call, every woman that will listen to this call, I ask, Father God, that you will give us a renewing of our mind by your word. Renew, heal our mind with words of truth, absolute truth, your truth that destroys the foundational lies that the enemy, our past, sins that others have lived against us, sins that we've lived ourselves, those places where the enemy has been given ground. We ask that your word would come in, would penetrate and shatter those barriers of ungodly beliefs. I ask, Father God, that you would show us the path that we should take, Lord. Point out the right road for us to follow. Guide us, Lord. Lead us. You are the God who saves Judy. You are the God who saves Donna. You are the God who saves me. You are the God who saves our children, who repairs, restores, renew, replenishes, revives all of our relationships. Help us, Father God, those of us that are married, help us to honor our husbands, so that even when they do not obey your word, that they may be won without a word by our conduct, Father God. Help us to walk in the fruit of your spirit in all of our relationships. Let us operate and demonstrate love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. Let us do it, Father God. Help us to remember to choose joy. To choose joy, that in all things that we would rejoice at what we know you will accomplish. You will accomplish through our trials and tribulations. You will restore the years that the locust have eaten. I thank you that you work all things together for our good, for our good. We sit in a waiting room of hope and faith, and we are in the mean time. We're in the meantime. We're in the middle of the struggle, but we're proclaiming the promise. We're in the waiting room, and we wait on you. I thank you, Lord, that the end of the matter is better than its beginning, and that patience is better than pride. Your word says that, Lord. Your word says that. We stand on your promise for our relationships, our health, our finances, that you bring health and healing, that you heal your people, and that we enjoy abundant peace and security. Your word says that, Lord. Your word says that. Your word says that since we've been justified through faith, we have peace. We have peace. And we proclaim this peace today. We proclaim this peace today. We declare that our minds will be at peace, that our hearts will be at peace, that we will not be worried, that we will not be discouraged, that we will not be discontent, that we will not be contemptuous of those around us, that we will esteem others more highly than ourselves, that we will give them the benefit of the doubt. As you give us that grace, you see us as a completed work. You look at us from today forward, not today past. Help us to look at those, Father God, that have so many faults, just as we do. No doubt about it, blaring faults that affect us each and every day, our children, our coworkers, our parents, our spouses. Father God, help us to be vessels of love, pouring out the same type of an atmosphere for growth that you have produced for us. Help us to be agents for change, loving others as you are changing them into your image. I thank you that you give us the strength to stand, that you've given us your whole armor, that we can put it on so that we can stand against the wiles of the enemy. Because we wrestle not against the people, not against the sins that they commit, but against these powers, these people that have strongholds, just like we do. So we take on the whole armor so that we can stand. And when we've done all we can do to stand, we encourage one another to stand some more. Bless Judy this day. Bless each woman that is on this call. Bless each woman here to forever that takes this class. Be glorified in our situations, Lord. Be magnified and exalted in the earth. In Jesus' name, amen.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. As I prayed for you, my sister, the parable came to me where it says the farmer went out and he planted all these good seeds. And then the enemy came along and planted weeds in the midst of it. And they said, well, should we go out there and ourselves and try to rip out all those weeds? What do we do? And Jesus, the message of the parable is, you know, let God figure that out. And so, Lord, we know that as our sister came into this marriage out of a lot of brokenness, out of a lot of weeds and destructive seed that had been planted into her life, and really she was a victim of that, that all of those weeds came into the marriage. And the same thing happened to her husband, that even as they were involved in church and doing these good things and trying to plant good seed in their lives and bringing beautiful children, three beautiful boys into the world, that the enemy was at work sowing his destructive weeds and destructive and addictions and destructive habits. And Lord, my sister was, well, can I pull it out? How do I get rid of these destructive things in my marriage? And Lord, I just feel like you're saying to her, God, there's some things that only I can do. Sister, Get out of that field. It's not yours to weed. Let me weed that garden of your husband's heart. Let me go in there. You can't do it. You'll pull up good seed. You'll do more harm than good. So, God, I just pray that she would leave her husband's field alone as far as pulling things up and trying to change things around. And that all she would continue to do is plant good seed, good seed, good seed, love, respect, honor, adoration, changing the way that she looks at him, that she would look at him with love and admiration and respect. And as she sows those seeds of faith into his future and the man that he could become, that those seeds would begin to rise up. And God, we trust you to send the Holy Spirit to pull out those destructive weeds, because it's not something that my sister can do for her husband. And Lord, even then, she can be busy about the things that you have called her to do in her own life, that in her own life, she would begin to sow seeds of believing the truth, and that she would, in her own field, pull out the weeds of the lies that have been planted in her heart and in her soul, in her mind, her will, and her emotions. That is her concern. Father, I pray that she would turn her eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of this earth, including all the destructive things that she sees right now in her life and her marriage, those things would grow strangely dim in the light of your glory and grace, and that she would keep herself busy about the business of sowing good seed, cultivating, watering, nourishing, time in your presence. And I believe, God, she is going to reap a harvest of righteousness, right behavior, and transformation in her life and in her marriage. And God, I believe that out of this, by the power of the blood of Jesus Christ and the word of her testimony, that you're really going to give her a platform. And this is something I've been praying into Deanna's marriage as well. The word blessed means happy and to be envied. My parents' marriage was so glorious, I was jealous. I mean, everybody who saw this couple madly in love into their 80s was jealous. Oh, man, why isn't my marriage like that? And I pray that for you. I pray that your marriage would become so glorious that women would look and literally be envious, because that's what it means to be blessed. And I pray that into you in Jesus' name. I plant that seed of a glorious marriage in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hey, ladies, we will see you Monday morning. God bless. Bye-bye.